Hey, everybody, this is Jean Tien, and welcome to another episode of Being Unapologetically Authentic. Today's guest is Tasha Da Costa, who is a business and mindset coach and a seven-figure business owner at Lady Boss Studio. Her goal beyond work and life balance and being there for her family is to empower and help other female business owners to create and design a business that they love. And I'm so excited to have her on our show today. And Tasha, actually, you are going to be one of the first, actually the first on this podcast that we are going to start with video. So thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for playing and testing out this video aspect with me. And we'll just go with the flow. So I gave a quick intro, but I'd love for you to introduce yourself. Tell us, you know, a little bit about you, how you became the owner and founder of Lady Boss Studio. And for everyone out there, before we even get started, let me just say, I've worked with Tasha in the past and she is so talented and such a pleasure to work with, which I think in this day and age says a lot. So Tasha, take it over.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Jean. As Jean mentioned, we had the pleasure of working together. That's how we met in terms of Lady Boss Studio and website design. That was an incredible experience, which is what led us here today, which is exciting. So I started Lady Boss Studio in, I mean, similar fashion to what you hear a lot of female entrepreneurs. I was working full time, had a baby, wasn't really happy with that life anymore. And being up by, you know, 5 a.m. to rush to get my kid and our baby out the door to have him at daycare by 7:30 so I could then commute the hour to work. Like, it was just extremely unfulfilling and I was really unhappy. So I knew there had to be some way, something I could do online where I could have a lot more balance. At the time, so I'm in Canada. So in the US, I mean, being a VA and having an online business is just so much more known and so much more of a real thing. Whereas here, 5 years ago, not to say that it didn't exist, but you did not hear a lot about it. So me telling my husband I wanted to start a virtual assistant business online, to him, that wasn't even a real thing. Like, people didn't, it didn't exist. People didn't do that. Like, that's not actually a real way you can make money. I was like, no, I promise it is. So I built my website in secret so I would have, you know, something tangible to present and be like, look, this is a thing. I promise I can make money this way. So we figured we'd give it 2 months and see how it went. I was able to get a few clients pretty quickly, just for general VA work for the most part. And then things just started evolving in terms of the branding and the websites. And I really saw a need after having gone through my own website building experience, for a way that female entrepreneurs could learn to do it themselves, feel empowered to do it themselves, but then also be able to do it for them if they're not interested in doing it themselves, right? So it really evolved over time. And then 2 weeks after, maybe 3 weeks after my second son was born, we rebranded everything over to Lady Boss Studio. And then that just kind of sort of grew and exploded and, you know, did its thing from there. So April will mark will be the 5 year mark, since the beginning.
So congratulations, because that's an amazing success story. And we always love hearing success stories in this show. So let me ask you a couple of questions. How long ago did you say this happened in terms of leaving the corporate job and starting your own VA venture?
So April 2017.
Wow. So almost 5 years.
Just about 5 years. So we are like just on the cusp. Yeah. So it's super exciting. And I mean, I felt there's a part of me that was felt really crappy about the fact that I was leaving corporate and I wasn't making like multiple six figures in corporate. Like I was barely entry level, didn't know what I wanted to do. Felt like a failure most of the time. I was always somebody who had such a diversified interest in things. And always felt bad because I was that master of none. And because I'd liked so many different things, I felt like I would never be successful because of that. Yeah. Lo and behold, however many years later, that has served me so incredibly, because there's like, as a business owner, you wear so many hats, that I was able to take that and do so many things effortlessly and with just like the relentless energy that I knew I could do it, that I feel like allowed that growth to happen, mm-hmm. so much faster than maybe I ever thought it could.
And I love what you just said, because here in this podcast and with this community, we explore the concept of authenticity and also the concept of success, right? And what you just said so resonates with me, and I'm sure it resonates with our audience as well, in terms of you weren't sure what you wanted to do, so you went into corporate. And I think that really resonates with and holds true for almost 80 to 90% of the population, I'll be honest, yeah. right? And yeah. but that's just a guess. I didn't do any scientific research on it. But, you know, from everyone I've spoken to, it's the same story. They just went into it because they thought that they had to. Yeah. And when they were in it, they realized it's not something that lights them up. But then oftentimes, I think you were very lucky in the sense that you were able to get out earlier rather than mm-hmm. later, right? Because you mm-hmm. mentioned that you were just starting out. Some of us, like myself and others too, have been in corporate for so long, mm-hmm. right? That's all that they know. And so what, you know, like leaving corporate was probably really scary because you leave the paycheck, you leave yeah. the steady flow. And I think there's this misconception out there that leaving corporate means leaving financial stability behind, mm-hmm. which in your case, has that been the case, right? Because talk yeah. about, you know, the fears that you had, how you overcame them. And then let's talk about a lot of like this financial stability aspect too, if you don't mind, because,
no, I'd be happy to.
You know, from a business owner versus that of a corporate person.
We have never been so financially stable as we are right now. Ever.
That's awesome.
My husband's an entrepreneur as well. So where I had the like steady paycheck, we'll call it, which again was not a massive amount by any stretch of the imagination. But at least that was always like a consistent thing. And right. he's owned his business for 15 years. Wow. But it was still a matter of like, he runs a business. So there's always that risk. Right. And so we went from, like I still had student loan debt, which I didn't even finish university. So the fact that I was paying student loan debt and like didn't even end up with a degree, and I'll talk about that in a second. We had debt on credit cards. Like we were not in a great financial space whatsoever to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to go out there and take a risk. And like, hopefully it works out. I'm going down to one income with one kid already, knowing that at some point in the near future, there was going to be another one. Like we knew we wanted to add to our family. Nice. But the first 2 years were probably relatively comparable in terms of income of what I was making before, except for the fact that I was working tremendously more hours because I was, you're a business owner. You were committed for the most part, 24 hours a day, right. Which is not necessarily the greatest way to approach it, but it ends up happening. It's your baby, your second baby, third baby, first baby, whatever it is, it's a baby. Right. But then by year three to year four, all of that work that I had put in, all of those hours I had put in, multiplied in a way that it never could have in a corporate environment. So all of that web traffic, all of those people I'd been connecting with and contacts I'd been making and creating, like making our website a money-making machine, that all started to multiply by year three, which then brought us from like $120,000 a year up to $1 million a year. So there was a big That's multiplication amazing. Factor that happened. And the funny thing about the whole going into corporate, because of the stability factor out of university. So I started this at 32. I'm now 37 I'll be 38. So I had felt like I had already kind of like missed my mark of finding what it was I was going to do in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was like 32. I'm so old at this point. I've totally missed the boat on whatever it is that I was going to do.
Every possible excuse that somebody can have for not starting something new. So I love this. So keep going.
So when I finished high school and it was time to go to university, I had applied to, I don't remember what college it was, but it was a college for interior design, or I'd applied to Ryerson University for business. And I got accepted to both, which was great. And I was like, I knew that I wanted to do the more design thing. But I was like, well, what? Like, how am I ever going to make money doing that? Who's going to pay me to like make their rooms look good? So I, even at that age, I was already kind of backtracking on myself to think that even though I wanted to do this thing so much more, I didn't do it because I felt like business was the safest thing. Right. So come year two in university, when it was like, I was doing all these accounting courses and all these things that I was just like, I have like zero interest in this. Now it served me as a business owner, so fine. But at the time I was like, I'd rather just go work at this point. Like I have no interest. So I ended up, I think it was by the end of year two in university of the 4-year program, I ended up dropping out and just going to work full time. And of course that's where like the student loans still needed to be paid off. You know, 10 years later, there was still that remaining balance. But had I followed my instincts initially and been like, well, I know this is what I want to do, and just had the confidence to know that I can make that work regardless, would have probably served me so much more than just choosing the business, because I felt like it was the safe path of where I would definitely find a job.
Yeah.
And
you know, I think it's so important too, to highlight the fact that like you found your way back to your passion, right? Mm-hmm. So often I think people think that the path that we take is permanent and the path that we take, you know, has to be the one and only, and we have to stick through it. But so often, I think what happens is that the universe guides us in different ways. And just like you said, the business education did assist you with the fact with what you're doing currently. So there was a purpose to it, even though we couldn't see it at that point. Mm-hmm. And even though it probably wasn't the best experience because you didn't enjoy it, you left, et cetera. But there's always a reason for these things to happen, right? 100%. So, and then, but you also found your way back into design, and you found, and I mean, I have to say your designs are beautiful. I've gotten so many amazing compliments, and it's nothing that I could have done myself, I'll be honest. And then, so it's like, you knew your power, you knew your strength, you knew what it was that was your zone of genius, and you went right into it and you went back to it. And it's what, you know, and it's almost like you didn't do the standard thing. You realized the standard thing wasn't going to make you happy. You went back to what was going to make you happy and you put the work in. And I don't want to say it's hard work. I mean, yeah, sometimes I'm sure it felt hard and difficult and challenging because that's the life of an entrepreneur at times. Right. Yeah. But you invested in yourself. Those years were your investment, and it came out better because you were confident in you and in your abilities. And I think that this is such an, and I'm highlighting this, and I'm probably talking a little too much about it, but like I'm highlighting this because I think so often we get into our own heads about every reason and everything possible that things won't work out. But there's a 50-50 shot. And quite frankly, it probably is even a better shot at things working out when we can start to realize that it's in our control. It's in our purpose. Right. And you've succeeded in so many different ways, but it is interesting too. Cause like, let's talk about this, because you left corporate for better work-life balance, but then in the first 2 years, it was a 24-hour thing. So tell me what you did in terms of being able to find that balance during that period of time where you were so invested in your business.
Well, so, I mean, I guess it's kind of twofold. One, I feel like the success came because I put myself in a place where there was no other option. There was no other situation that existed in my mind where this was not going to work. And I was relentless in that. So where that work-life balance sort of didn't exist, it also came because I was passionate about it. Do you know what I mean? And even still, like, there is a constant like magnet that draws me to this room, to this computer, because I genuinely love what I do. And it's not just even the design aspect, but it's the strategy aspect. Mm-hmm. It's the being able to continue to grow and learn and like dominate in certain things and get better and evolve. Like I am wholeheartedly in my soul attracted to that. So while there was definitely more work than probably needed to be, it was also too, because I was just, it didn't come from a place of stress. Yeah. It came from a place of like genuine investment in knowing that like I was planting seeds and that those seeds were going to grow into something beautiful. part of like setting those boundaries and being able to kind of get that work-life balance really came down in a lot of ways to me just having much better systems in my business, setting expectations with clients of when I am and am not available, instead of just having everybody expect that I will be available 24/7. And then of course, when the time came to be able to grow and actually have a team, that's been instrumental too in me being able to, you know, be with my family and not work every Friday. For the most part, I have the Fridays off. I'm home every morning with the kids for breakfast. I pick them up after school every single day. So my work day really only is say 9:30 to 2:30 for the most part, if I want to do anything extra. And then I love to work in the mornings, but it really was just being able to like set the boundaries and know, be happy to provide what my business needs when it needs it, but also to pay attention and be happy to provide what my family needs when they need it and what my kids need when they need it in terms of attention, and really being able to like split the two up instead of trying to do the two at the same time.
Yeah. And then not having to worry about what people will think in the background in terms of corporate and having to ask for time off, et cetera. And that's so key. Yeah.
Well, that's it. And nowadays, like with everything going on, you don't know, you might wake up and a kid is sick, or you have to take them to the doctors, or you're not feeling 100%. So just to be able to have that ability to full stop, I have control over my schedule. And knowing that you're also working with people too, that understand that and that have the same values and like operate their businesses from the same perspective. If I have an appointment with somebody and they were saying, you know what, something happened this morning, my kid's not feeling well, I need to do this, I'd be like, I completely get it.
Yeah.
There would be no like ill feeling towards that, because I believe I'm in a community of people, of like-minded people who are trying to all do the same thing. Right.
Yeah. And that's so powerful too. And to create that community. And what I love about that is because then the community you create, they create their own. So it's almost like the ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. So you treat people with respect, you treat people with the way you want to be treated. And in return, they know that that's possible and that you can still succeed to do that by doing that. And they go out and do that on their own. And so it's just this, you know, powerful wave of humanity and kindness and all the goodness,
which we need more of.
Yes, exactly. Which we definitely need more of. So tell me, let's go back a little bit further back and tell me, like, how did you get involved, or what interested, how did you know that design was your interest, that the design was your passion? Because I think so many people today, like, they struggle with what their passion is. So, you know, share with us how you discovered that that was your passion.
It kind of, so I guess my whole life I've been naturally drawn towards making things look better, making things more functional, organization design. Like even when I was a kid, in terms of crafts, that's always been a pull for me. And then I think too, just by doing, you learn so much. So just by starting that VA business and realizing, whoa, when somebody asks me for this, I'm super excited about it, as opposed to when someone wants me to maybe do admin work, I'm a lot less lit up by that. So had I not even just started doing general VA services in general, I never could have, like, sometimes you just need to start in order to narrow that down. Like, you don't necessarily have to have it all figured out right from the get-go, but it's like that process of doing that enables you to evolve and get closer to what it is you're supposed to be doing. And so I ended up getting my real estate license shortly after leaving university. This is kind of around, I guess, when my husband and I started dating. And so obviously real estate is a very sales-oriented business, which isn't necessarily, or wasn't necessarily an instinctual thing for me. But I could literally spend like 4 hours happily creating a postcard or a flyer, and I would be in heaven. But like to ask me to go door to door and sell or go in front of an audience and do things, that was very much not what I wanted to do whatsoever. Yeah. At the time, I didn't, like, that didn't click for me. But now looking back on it, I can say, well, like right then and there, you would literally be holed up in your home office all day designing things and taking courses in Illustrator just so you could design better flyers for your real estate business, but you had no interest in going out to find clients who needed to sell their house, right? Like, now looking back, it was very obvious. But I think in leading me to where I am now, again, all of that, like, I needed to get started in order for that path to become more clear. Yeah. And even in terms of like the strategy and the business coaching, that's not something I ever would have thought would have been on my radar. Mm-hmm. But again, by doing and by trying and by learning, I've realized that that also is something I'm very much excited about and very much interested in doing and helping other entrepreneurs grow. Again, not something I ever would have figured out if I would have just sat there saying, well, what is it that I'm going to do?
Yeah.
And just thinking about it nonstop, I needed to do in order for that to become more clear.
Yeah. So taking that imperfect action and not 100%. Having to perfect it. And so what, so one of the things that I love just kind of exploring, right? And I did a previous episode about this too, is the concept of success measured through money. So oftentimes I think people do something because they think they're going to make money from it. And so money becomes the main motivation behind what it is that they do. And, you know, what has been your experience? Like, what would you tell people if that was what they said to you? They said, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of money in being a coach or in starting my own business, and that's why I'm doing it. What would you tell people when they say that to you? What advice would you give them?
So it's kind of twofold. Twofold because I remember very like poignantly in my mind being on my iPad, trying to figure out how I was going to work from home and like make that work. I was looking on Pinterest, I think, at people's blog articles. And I remember reading one blogger in particular who didn't offer services or products. She was strictly a blogger, but she was making like over $100,000 a month in affiliate income. Okay. By recommending a web host and some financial products. And I remember like that was highly motivating for me because I was like, if there are other people that are in this online space that are able to bring in that much money, like to me, that was motivating from a like freedom and resource standpoint. Mm-hmm. So right. I feel like the opportunity to make money, I feel like can be very motivating in the sense of, you know, it's possible for you. Mm-hmm. Now, I also am a firm believer of energy sells. And if you are motivated solely by money and solely by making money from people, whatever it is that you're trying to sell, I don't believe you will be as successful as. Right. Whereas if you showed up with the energy and the intention behind whatever it is you're doing, with, yes, I think it's okay to show up with the intention of making money from providing value, mm-hmm. but to show up from the point of view of just making money, I feel like that's going to fall relatively flat. Whereas if you're showing up with the intention of creating exceptional value about something you're passionate about, mm-hmm. knowing that that's going to be an exchange for a good amount of money that you can use as a resource to further your business, help your community, help your family, create generational wealth within your family, I feel like that result ends up being significantly different.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you on that. And I think that when you go into business with the intent of money purely because you want money, and look, there's nothing wrong with desiring to make more money, right? There's nothing wrong with opening a business with, you know, with the goal of making more money and bringing more money into your life. But that's a secondary thing, like you said, right? That's not the main thing. And I think when you go into it with that intent and with that focus, people see that. And I think that's where it goes. Like, I've gone into so many situations where I felt like a walking, you know, like they have those computer games that, you know, they have like dollar signs over their head and stuff. Like if you sell to that person, you get like whatever dollar sign. Like that's how I literally feel at times when I go into a business and all, I know that all they see is a dollar sign rather than a customer that they can support, a customer that they can create a relationship with. And I think you And one thing I want to say about working with you is that I've never felt like I had a dollar sign on my forehead, and I never had an issue with buying from you because, and the thing I say that is because I know that you wouldn't sell me anything that wasn't right for me. Right. And, you know, you've provided so much additional value to the things that I have purchased from you that it's not a penny pinching thing. And I think, you know, I need to treat people as that dollar sign and to look at them like there's a lot of hustle out there, quite frankly. And the hustle forces you to look at people like dollar signs and what they can do for you. And I think that's so, how do I say this? It's so condescending to the people that you're trying to support because you think they're stupid. You're trying to, you basically treat them as if they have no intelligence whatsoever.
Yeah.
And people are all smart enough, right? Energetically, you know, and also consciously, they're all smart enough to pick up on what your true intent is. And so that is such a big difference in terms of the way that you do business. It's customer first versus money first. And, you know, I know I'm talking a lot, so I'll let you speak. But the other question, the follow-up question I have for you too, is like, you see so much of this promotion aspect too. Hey, and you know, especially in the coaching space. And it's something that's gotten me so upset in the process too, because I think then, you know, it teaches the wrong thing, right? It's like, hey, I made seven figures in 2 days. And this is how, you know, like come and learn from me and spend thousands of dollars to see how I did it. Yeah, you made it in 2 days, but we don't know what you did in behind the 2 days. We don't know the energetic alignment of it. We don't know what that means for you in the future. It's so short-sighted and it's so money focused, right?
Yeah. I hear you. So the funny thing that you were saying about the customer service and the whole, your past serving you, most of what I did in corporate was customer service based. And I was really, really good at it. Just in terms of being able to communicate with people, understand where they're at, provide value from whatever, you know, whatever mandate I was able to provide from the actual company. So the whole not feeling like you might be able to just like switch paths based on what you've been doing for so long, know that those lessons there will serve you and they will serve you well. And us being a very cut, yes, could we increase our profit margins and offer less service? Yes, we probably could. Am I interested in doing that? Absolutely not. Right. Because to me, that's a very important characteristic of our brand and what I think and what I feel is like the way to operate our business. The other thing too on that topic is, so within our Sales and Repeat Society, we have a whole section just on like how to sell more simply and just give you a really good plan for, because a lot of entrepreneurs will get very confused on what to post on social media and what to post here and how to actually sell what it is that they're doing. And one of the things that for a while I think was really missed in people watching that is they just assumed, okay, well, I'm going to follow this person's, I'm going to post this on Monday and post this on Tuesday and post this on Wednesday. And that's just magically going to lead to sales. And I very much had to be like, no, this is helping you be consistent and get in front of people.
Right.
Like you still need to connect with them. Like they're people.
Right.
Like they're there. Like you still actually need to have conversations and like open up dialogue and have and find out if that this thing that you're trying to sell them is right for them. And we like, I love the fact that for the most part, we sell off sales pages and that's great. We don't do like a ton of discovery calls. We don't promote a whole bunch of discovery.
Hey, Tasha, hold on 1 second. For some reason, your mic is just very low. The volume just went very low. And I'm not sure what happened.
I'm on the same mic.
I'm going to put this on pause for just 1 minute. Pause. All right. So we're back with the audio check. So sorry, Tasha, but go ahead and talk about the sales on repeat and also the connection with the customers.
Yeah. So it was just a matter of people. Like, so again, we are a huge proponent of selling from a sales page. We love that because we do a good job of continuously staying in touch with our audience, speaking in DMs, opening up conversations. So it allows that to then, when someone feels ready, to go to the sales page and buy from the sales page. So we love that. It also frees up a lot of my time as an entrepreneur to not have to be on discovery calls all the time. But I think there's a lot of missed opportunity when people think, I'm only going to sell from the sales page and I never need to have a conversation with a person. Mm-hmm. I just want them to buy. That's when you're playing that dangerous game of, okay, well, you're only seeing your audience with a little dollar sign, right. and you're against that connection. So I think knowing that at the end of the day, the credit cards are people, and the people not need that conversation, but they need to have a connection with you and your business or your brand, mm-hmm. Beyond just go buy this thing.
Right.
So I that was just sort of like with the sales and repeat society of knowing, yeah, you can have a planner, you can follow whatever coach tells you that they're doing, but at the end of the day, you still have to serve your people. Mm-hmm. And the whole, I made $1 million in 2 days or whatever the case is, that's fine and dandy. But again, did they spend $999,000 on Facebook ads? Yeah. Yeah. How long did it actually take to get to that point?
Right.
How do they have an audience of 500,000 people?
Right.
Because that's a big difference when you have an audience of 10 and you're just starting out. And then they're saying, hey, I'm going to show you how to make $1 million in 2 days. Yes. I guess that's more in terms of like a buyer beware, but
It's important to highlight that too, right? Because we don't see, like, we only see the tip of the iceberg. We don't see the bottom of the iceberg in any shape or form.
100%. And that's like one of the biggest things I think too, with a lot of coaches out there and saying, well, I can get you this in this amount of days, is being able to say, okay, well, you can do this now because you're here, but like, what did your first year look like? Mm-hmm. What did your second year look like? And yes, you know more now, you have better strategies now, you have mm-hmm. a team in place now, like things are a lot different where if you could go back to year one, you'd probably do a heck of a lot better than you actually did in year one, because there's so much more knowledge gained. But there is also something to be said for knowing where you're at right now compared to where somebody's at that might be promising you something that might be really, really difficult to actually achieve.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
At this point.
So last question for you, because this has been something that's come up a lot in this day and age. I hear that websites are dead. I think a lot of promotion and marketing and new, you know, like coaches out there, business strategists, coaches out there say that like websites are dead. But I know that for you, you also believe that websites are your number one sales tool, right? Or at least at the top of the sales tools that you have. So share with us what your thoughts are on this concept that websites are dead and that people don't need one.
It's twofold. I think that when you're first starting your business, if you don't have a website, you will fail? No. Do I think it is literally your home base as your business starts to grow and develop? Our website, so at last year, we did, I think it was like 30 to 40,000 in one-to-one services. Mm-hmm. The rest was all based on like low ticket, mid ticket, and group programs that we did. All run from our website.
Wow.
All of our digital products, our lowest ticket digital products, which is where we make the most money, that is all run through a funnel on our website that we send Facebook ads to. So could you not have a website and just have like a one page thing on ClickFunnels? Sure. But as far as I'm concerned, then you're selling a product. Mm-hmm. When you have a business that has a built out value ladder, a built out aligned value ladder that offers whether like a mix of digital products, mid ticket offers like courses, higher ticket offers like group programs, I'm sorry, but your website should be your top performing salesperson. Mm-hmm. That should be making you money on autopilot 24 hours a day. I don't wake up in the morning and not have made money overnight. That is something I am insanely proud of. And my website does that for me.
Yeah.
Like that's where the work, like it's working for me all the time. Two websites now, technically. So can you start a business with an Instagram profile and somehow to collect payments and start that way? 100%. But at some point, I do wholeheartedly believe that having that home base, developing that brand, having a place where people can go to pay you 24/7, 365, I wholeheartedly believe that that is a big part of a successful online business strategy. And that is, that's what we focus on. It's online business, right? So,
Yeah. And I love like all of this, these tools that you've been sharing with us and the business strategies that you've been sharing with us. Where can they find more of this information? Share with us how they can find you, where they can find more of the business information. Is this what you teach in terms of sales on repeat?
Yes. So two businesses technically. So just as a sort of a preemptive to that, in the whole, everything evolves and everything grows. Mm-hmm. So Lady Boss Studio, obviously we're at 5 years now. But I've obviously realized that I also have a passion for strategy and a passion for coaching. And things started to get very convoluted with Lady Boss Studio because we were primarily a design, a website and branding agency. Then I was wanting to do all this like coaching and strategy and mindset and all that jazz. So things were getting really, from a messaging standpoint and who we were attracting standpoint, very convoluted at Lady Boss Studio. So I made the decision at the end of last year that I was going to keep Lady Boss Studio as what it's been known for and what it does really well in terms of the website and branding. And then also do Tasha DaCosta coaching, where I can, in a smaller, more like exclusive group type of format, do a lot more of the mindset and strategy for online businesses. So when it comes to websites and branding, we have ladybossstudio.com. If you are somebody who is just getting started with knowing you need a website, we have an incredible free offer at Lady Boss Studio, which is the ultimate website content planner. So you can go and actually pre-plan all of your content ahead of time so that you feel like you're in control before you go to a web designer, before you maybe do a website course, which we have one of, which is fantastic. Even if you just want to have a better grasp of everything you're going to need before you actually get into website creation mode. So that's a big, a place where a lot of business owners find themselves. They go right from, I'm going to start a business to I'm starting to design my website.
Yes.
But there's a big missing piece there of what's actually going to go on that website.
Yeah.
And then that ends up taking them 6 months
because
they're constantly backtracking. Yeah. So the website content planner really helps with that. And then on the TashaDaCosta.com, which is the mindset and coaching. So I recently just finished my certification. So through Tracy Litt and her Mind Magic program, I just finished my certification with her. So I'm a certified Mind Magic practitioner. So I'm able to offer that type of those types of services and coaching on TashaDaCosta.com. We just launched our secret podcast series. So episode one, there's going to be 3 episodes total, is available on there now for free. So you can sign up and get access to that. And so if you are looking for mindset, business strategy for online business, coach, consultant, service provider, signing up for that free secret podcast series is like the best way to get a really good introduction into what it is that we do. And then we do our Sales and Repeat Society, which combines the mindset and combines the strategy in order for you to pretty much plan your income, create irresistible offers, and then learn how to like effortlessly sell online without it feeling kind of like salesy or slimy. And of course, creating connection with your people.
Yes. So we will have the link that for both the Tasha DaCosta coaching as well as for Lady Boss Studio in the show notes. So then for those of you who are interested in learning more about one or the other or both, feel free to go into the links and click on that. And I can't wait to hear your podcast. I didn't know you were doing a podcast. That's so exciting.
Yeah. So it's just like a little like 3 episode mini thing. So we're not like diving into the whole, into the big, awesome podcast that you're doing right now. We may eventually just kind of like dip my toes in the water.
Yeah. And perfect action. You do what you take, you do it and then you figure it out, right? That's 100%. What you preach and that's what you practice. That's amazing.
Yes. So it's, we put it live, I think yesterday or the day before. It'll be awesome to get feedback too. So yes. Thank you so much for having me on here.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on, and For those of you who have enjoyed this episode as much as I have and who would like to learn more about Tasha, please go and check her out at Lady Boss Studio, as well as Tasha DaCosta Coaching. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you think that there are friends and family and colleagues and anybody out there who would benefit from it, please share and also rate this 5 stars, because the more people that we can get out there, the more we can impact others, and let's create a better space together. Bye, everybody. Thank you.